It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
Wow. What was that? Welcome back, everybody, to Fade the Chalk, presented, of course, by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer here with the solo edition recap of Week 9, and I don't even know what it was. I mean, one of the ugliest, most bizarre weeks of fantasy football, or just football in general, that I've seen in quite some time. We'll break it all down here on the podcast. Thanks for everybody for tuning in. I mean, hopefully your Week 9 was good. I feel like for fantasy, there was a lot of teams that just like didn't score fantasy points, which is the object of the game. A lot of really bad performances, a lot of offenses just not doing things. We'll talk about all that. We'll break everything down from week number 9. But before we do that, I want to mention everything over at FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, and FTNBets.com. We have incredible NBA DFS content every single day over at FTN Daily. Myself, Joe Metz, we kind of alternate the DFS value article and the first look article every day. Joe will be handling that today on Monday. But then you have a bunch of other content, right? I mean, Kyle Murray's optimizer is unbelievable. The projections, you have the live streams, which are worth everything in itself. Zach Graham, Kweisenberg, Fast Eddie Fear, you get his rankings. Plus, he's on the live streams. Stefano's on the live streams. I mean, just Alex Bickle. I mean, just a huge team helping you win. We've already had a lot of takedowns for NBA DFS, and we're hoping to have a lot more. Of course, football still, obviously, still have 7 or 8 weeks left or whatever it is. And yeah, I mean, like, let's talk. We had Frank Stample on, who does fantasy baseball content over at CBS Fantasy. And it's like, he was telling me, it's like, yeah, the World Series just ended, but baseball is going to come up faster than you think. And of course, we'll have content for that as well. Also want to mention Top Prop Sports. Again, like, if your season-long league is over, right, you have 1-2 wins, you're out of it, you can still play for something. And that's where Top Prop Sports comes into play. It's really, really cool. You can play weekly cash prize contests within your season-long league. You just import it over at topropsports.com, whether you play on ESPN or Yahoo. You import it, you invite your league mates, you can play weekly cash prizes and put your money where your mouth is. And it's perfect for times like this, right? So often we get times where teams are out of contention in their season-long leagues and they just stop trying. But that won't be a problem over at Top Prop Sports. Use the code FTN. All right, let's get to these games. And I'm just warning everybody now, there's going to be a lot of like, yeah, this game was like, I'm not going to go in depth on a lot of these games because a lot of them were just not worth talking about. We will start with this game, maybe the most exciting game of the day. Baltimore wins in overtime, 34-31 over the Vikings. Their offense got off to a slow start. I was very high on Lamar Jackson and Hollywood Brown in this game. Got off to a slow start, but look at this game for Lamar Jackson. 266 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. He had 21 carries. 21 carries. And yes, the game went to overtime, but 21 carries for 120 yards on top of that for Lamar Jackson, who continues to be an absolute cheat code in fantasy football. I mean, just a ridiculous game from him. Anytime your quarterback can run for that amount of yards, I mean, just it's sky's the limit for Lamar Jackson. So you love to see that. And look, 120 yards on 21 carries. Like, I don't, it's not even fair. But yeah, I mean, starting Lamar Jackson every single week. And then Hollywood Brown, another nice game from him. 9 catches, 116 yards, 12 targets for Hollywood Brown. I mean, the last couple years, Hollywood Brown has been kind of like a boomer bust receiver on his, you know, 5 to 6 targets per game. And you hope he, you know, breaks off a long play and scores. And it's like now, like games like this, he didn't even score, but you're feeling good about it. I mean, this is a guy who is getting consistent targets. He's still getting plenty of downfield targets too, right? I mean, he's tied with Cortland Sutton for the league lead in deep targets this season. But the volume's been more consistent as Baltimore's been more pass heavy, right? His fewest targets in a game this year has been 5. And that was a game against Denver where they were kind of in control, but he still scored in that game and had 91 yards because he had a deep receptor. Like Hollywood Brown's been a top 10 receiver and he's probably dropped 5 touchdowns this year. We know he dropped 3 against Detroit a couple weeks ago. But look, I mean, this year he's got four different games with double-digit targets. He's been absolutely fantastic. And again, like, if this were the Ravens of 2 years ago or even last year, he'd be like the, he would have been like the prime sell high candidate. But like, I'm not trading Hollywood Brown. Like, talented player. The Baltimore passing offense is opening up, which Greg Roman kind of hinted towards all offseason. So yeah, just keep rolling with Hollywood Brown. And then there's Rashad Bateman. We got word that Sammy Watkins, who did return to practice to end the week, he was ruled out. So Rashad Bateman catches five balls, 52 yards on eight targets. His involvement's been very encouraging. I mean, how much does that change if and when Watkins is back? We'll see. But, you know, 65 snaps, 43 routes, Hollywood Brown ran 50 routes, but eight targets. He has been really, like, I believe he's 10 for 10 on third down conversions. Like, he's been kind of Lamar Jackson's guy on third down. You know, this is a career high in snap percentage for him. And again, like I said, I would be more worried about the return of Sammy Watkins if this team wasn't throwing like they are, but they are. And Bateman's clearly a talented player. So yeah, I mean, he should have been added weeks ago, but I think we're now getting to the point where he's a viable flex. I mean, I started him as a flex this week and he outscored all my other receivers because, again, there was like no fantasy points scored in this game or in this week. For Minnesota, they got off to a great start, right? I mean, Justin Jefferson, 50-yard touchdown right out of the gate, but he ends up with 69 yards, three catches, and that touchdown. So that was disappointing. Good matchup for Tyler Conklin. He's been pretty, like, rock solid. Like, hasn't won you a week, but has not lost you a week if you streamed him. 5 for 45 on 7 targets here. Thielen, you know, saves his day with a late touchdown to send the game to overtime. Other than that, he had two catches for 6 yards. And then Dalvin Cook, they talked about, you know, earlier in the week, I think it was Clint Kubiak said that they got to get Dalvin Cook going more, and he ends up with 20 touches here. Doesn't score, had a touchdown called back from the, like, at the one. He was ruled down, and then Cousins ran it in from a yard out. Like, Minnesota's offense, they've gotten to some points where they've been really underwhelming, but like, you're not benching Jefferson, Thielen, or Cook. Conklin is what he is. He's a really strong streamer. And Cousins is in that same range. He's going to be in like that 10 to 13, 14 quarterback range basically every single week. So, yeah, I mean, again, though, the Ravens or the Vikings offense needs to be more consistent and just they have too many disappearing acts. Speaking of disappearing acts, the Panthers offense was on the field. So that's what we tend to see. They lose 24-6 against the New England Patriots. I know we're in November. I understand. Like, October's over. Halloween's over. We're past that. We're moving on to November and Thanksgiving and then eventually Christmas. But nobody told Sam Darnold that because this dude drops back to pass and sees ghosts still to this day everywhere. Maybe it was a Belichick thing today. No, it's not because he's been awful anyway. Sam Darnold now in this game, 172 yards, no touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I tweeted this, and I have to double check. I have to, you know, carry the one, round up, and whatever. But Sam Darnold has not thrown a touchdown pass since 1995. May or may not be true, but it sure feels like it. I mean, And yes, we'll talk about it. Christian McCaffrey was back in this game. You thought it might help. But there is not a player in the NFL playing worse than Sam Darnold right now. Like, I don't even know. Like, obviously, he's the worst quarterback in the NFL right now. Like, nobody's playing worse. But, like, just overall play. Like, who's playing worse at any position? Like, it's just, this guy has now thrown, he's now been under, this is ridiculous, under 208 passing yards in 5 straight games. And he's been under 180 in 4 of those games. He has not thrown a touchdown since week 6. He like the interceptions he threw in this game, forced the ball into the back corner of the end zone to DJ Moore with JC Jackson all over him, then escaped the pocket, tried to loft one to Chuba Hubbard in the flat, threw it, you know, airmailed it over his head, went right to JC Jackson for a pick six. And it's like, it's so frustrating because the first couple weeks of the season, it looked like DJ Moore was going to be unbelievable, absolute league winner. And you're looking at his game log and you're like, you're just relieved that he's even getting what he's getting given this passing game right now. I mean, in games like they're not even reaching 200 passing yards as a team. And DJ Moore, obviously this game was terrible, but for the most part, he's been like 50, 60, 70 yards. Obviously today, you know, tough matchup. Darnold self-destructs again, only 32 yards, but at least he gets seven targets. Robbie Anderson, you know, one catch, 2 yards. You're not playing him. You're not even, he shouldn't even be on rosters. It's bad, man. Like, I've talked about it a lot. I wish this offense and this passing game was better, but because DJ Moore could be a top 10 receiver, but it's just not going to happen right now unless they make a change. You know, if PJ Walker comes in and plays better, which I'm sure he will because Sam Darnold is playing absolutely awful right now. I don't know, man. It's bad. Christian McCaffrey, though, did return. Hasn't played since week 3, made his return. And we got word that he'd probably be a little bit limited, and that was the case, right? 49% of the snaps in his first game back. And, like, we expected, you know, the snaps to be limited, but when he's on the field, we know McCaffrey's getting the football, and that was the case, right? He handles 18 of the 27 running back touches for the Carolina Panthers here. And look, even when Chuba Hubbard was the lead back, you know, Matt Rhule and the Panthers said, we're just going to run the football more. We have to. And when you have the worst passing game in the NFL, it makes sense. So once McCaffrey gets healthier, and it could be as soon as next week, given the state of Carolina's season and their offense right now, we're probably going to see some 30-touch games from McCaffrey. And Dieber and I talked about it with Chuba Hubbard in terms of, like, trade talks, that maybe we were concerned that it would be more 70-30, you know, the rest of the season, whereas in the past it's always been, like, 90-10 in terms of usage and workload for Christian McCaffrey. But, like, their offense, like, they have two good players on offense right now. It's DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey. So, at this point, you just give them the ball as much as you can. So, yeah, no setbacks, good to go. It's good to see from McCaffrey. You're starting him every week. But yeah, this offense is broken. Not much from New England. We saw a lot of Ramondre Stevenson ran hard in this game. 10 carries, 62 yards, also added 44 receiving yards on 2 receptions. Damon Harris, 15 carries for 30 yards, but he scored from a couple yards out to save his day. Passing game didn't do much here, didn't have to. Mac Jones only threw the ball 18 times. I do believe both Ramondre Stevenson and Damon Harris were out of this game at some point with, I think they both suffered like head injuries or concussions. Yeah, they did. They both left like midway through the fourth quarter. If it's a concussion, obviously we have to keep an eye on it because Stevenson and Damon Harris both left in the fourth quarter with potential concussions. So they have the Browns next week. I mean, we'll see. I mean, again, like, if they're both healthy next week, I expect Harris to be the quote-unquote lead back. But, like, as long as Stevenson's not a healthy scratch, like, he's clearly shown he's got some burst and ability. So, I don't feel great about starting Damon Harris. But, like the case, if he scores, he's going to be good. If the Patriots don't fall behind, he's going to be pretty good. So, we'll see. Keep an eye on their status as the week goes on. Let's go to Cleveland. 41-16 victory over the Bengals. Impressive game here from the Browns, and all of a sudden Cincinnati's starting to reel here. First game of that Odell Beckham, Baker Mayfield, 14 completions on 21 pass attempts for 218 yards and a pair of touchdowns, one to David Njoku, the other to Donovan Peoples-Jones, who is very interesting in deeper leagues, a really talented player, loved him in Michigan, 2 catches, 86 yards. He's been a huge play guy this year, and he had a 60-yard touchdown in this game, only had 3 targets, but again, Baker only threw 21 times. As the defense had takeaways and interceptions and touchdowns. And then Nick Chubb was back. I mean, clearly healthy. 14 carries, 137 yards, and 2 scores. You don't love the 14 carries, but I do believe that the Bengals offense, or the Browns offense, rather, was not on the field as much as you would have liked. Again, they had a couple turnovers and short field, and you know, a 60-yard touchdown takes plays away, and a pick six takes plays away. So that plays a part of it, too. Still, Kareem Hunt, D'Ernest Johnson, 8 carries. But it was mostly Nick Chubb here who we knew it was coming, right? I mean, we talked about it on the DFS podcast. Give Frank Stample some credit here. He said this was going to be the week where Nick Chubb breaks off a couple long runs and reminds everybody he's still one of the best running backs in the NFL, and we saw that here. So, yeah, I mean, Nick Chubb's awesome. Jarvis Landry, definitely a disappointing game here with Odell Beckham out. But, again, like, the game environment didn't call for them to throw. Their offense was on the field, so 3 catches on 5 targets for Landry. I would still consider him, you know, in games where Cleveland has to throw a little bit more. And we know when they don't have to throw, they won't. But in games where they do, I think Landry's still going to be like a 23 to 25% target type of receiver in this offense with Odell Beckham out. And we'll see where he goes. Maybe the Saints, maybe the Seahawks. We will see. Let's go to the Bengals side. Bad game from Joe Burrow here. 28 of 40, no touchdowns, two interceptions. Joe Mixon gets a couple short yardage touchdowns in this game. And again, the targets, I mean, Tyler Boyd continues to not be a thing. A game where they throw 40 times, Boyd has two targets. Chase and Higgins combined for 21. It was a very inefficient game from Jamar Chase, though. 6 for 49 on 13 targets. Yes, you like the targets, but he's had a little bit of issues with some contested catches this year. He's still an incredible player, but we saw that in this game. And, you know, contested catches, had a couple drops. But, again, the Bengals' passing rate, we talked about it leading up to the week. It's, you know, climbed every single week, more the more Joe Burrow gets more comfortable. So they're still playing relatively slow, but, I mean, you're starting Higgins and Chase every week. Higgins 6 for 78 on 8 targets. You know, I just feel good about T. Higgins, right? And I talked about it. Those huge plays from Jamar Chase and CJ Uzama, they were going to regress, and we were going to get more red zone scoring opportunities for T. Higgins. So Higgins, I still think, is a rock-solid wide receiver 3 every week. I want to see the routes for the Bengals running backs because Chris Evans was active for this game. I believe he missed the previous two games. And like Joe Mixon's passing game work has been super up and down. In this game, Mixon, he ran 26 pass routes. Chris Evans only ran 3. Samaje Perine ran 15. Evans only played 3 snaps. So that's pretty encouraging for Mixon. But again, you're starting him every week. So we can move on to one of the surprises of the week. Denver 30, Dallas 16. I mean, Denver just came in and took Dallas out of their game. They dominated the ball. They dominated time of possession with Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon. First career 100-yard game from Javonte Williams. He has 111 yards on 17 carries. Melvin Gordon has 80 yards on 21 carries, and he scores. Just give Denver a ton of credit here. Their defense played well, and then their offense stayed on the field, and they just ran it down Dallas's throat. For the passing game, I mean, Tim Patrick was the guy here. 4 catches, 85 yards, and a score. Judy led the team with 8 targets. He had 8 of the 25 targets, so that's what we like to see from Jerry Judy. And, you know, 6 for 69, you'll take it. And, again, he said he was a little bit sore after last week, but I didn't see anything about his ankle really bothering him after this game, so that's an encouraging sign. Noah Fant was out in this game, COVID issues, and everybody was excited about the streaming potential and DFS value potential of Albert O, and he got the start, caught 4 or 5 targets for 25 yards. He left in the first half with a knee injury. I don't know if he returned in this game. I can check, but I'm not 100% sure if he did return. Obviously, like, the performance wasn't what you hoped for anyway, regardless, but I do want to try and see if he returned. Yeah, he did. So he played 63 snaps. So he did return, but just, you know, they only threw the ball 28 times. So, but that's where I want to talk about Courtland Sutton. I've been trying to trade Courtland Sutton in so many of my leagues for a long time. Not because he's not talented, not because he's not awesome, but because I view Jerry Jeudy as the one and the alpha in this offense. And you look at it. So Sutton's now played 3 games this year with Jerry Jeudy. In those games, in those 3 games, he has 9 total targets, a 10.5% target share. He's been under 15 total fantasy points during that span. Like, and yes, I get it. In 2 of those games, the Broncos attempted less than 30 passes. But that's just the point. Denver's offense is not going to be a 40 pass attempt, high volume offense. They're going to do what they did today. They at least try to, right? Rely on their 2 really good running backs and their defense. That's been their MO this year. So we will see games like this more often. They're not going to just shut down an offense like Dallas like they did, but and have the time possession they did. But like that's going to be their approach going into games. And if they're successful and if their defense plays well and Teddy Bridgewater only has to throw 27 to 30 times, Sutton is going to be really underwhelming in fantasy because Judy's getting the more highly converted targets. And yes, Sutton, he still has upside. He's still going to have some good games. Don't get me wrong. Again, immensely talented player, tied for the league lead with 20 deep targets. So he's going to have games. He's going to have production. But it's, you know, I've, with Judy back and Tim Patrick still clearly a very, very, you know, important part of this passing game, Sutton can't be viewed as anything more than a wide receiver 3 right now. I've been trying to trade him for, you know, a while now. I couldn't get anything done, and now you're just kind of stuck. I mean, you're not going to find many receivers on waivers or anything with the upside, or on your bench with the upside of Courtland Sutton. So in most situations, you're probably, I don't want to say most situations, because there's probably some teams where you have like Sutton, Devonta Smith, you know, some other receivers that are starting to break out that you can debate between. So definitely worried about Courtland Sutton going forward. For Denver, just, or for Dallas rather, just a complete joke of a game for them. I mean, they couldn't get off the field on defense. Their offense couldn't sustain drives. They went for a couple fourth downs and didn't convert any of them. Dak had two absolute garbage time touchdowns to Malik Turner. CeeDee Lamb had a goose egg for a while, finishes with 2 for 28. Amari Cooper dropped a touchdown, finishes with 2 for 37. Prescott had a wide open CeeDee Lamb for about a 50-yard touchdown, overthrew him. Just a bad game. Dalton Schultz, 4 for 54, was the only bright spot in the passing game. And then the ground game, Zeke, a little bit of a scare in this game. Was diagnosed with a knee contusion, was questionable return, but then he did come back in, finished the game, was in the game late for some reason, got a two-point conversion. So something to keep an eye on in practice. Maybe gets limited or misses a couple days in practice, but fully expect Zeke to be in there for a prime bounce-back spot in Week 10. Against the Atlanta Falcons. That goes for everybody on Dallas. We'll see if Michael Gallup's back, but the frustrating thing is, like, we get a 40 attempt game from Dak Prescott, and it's like, oh, CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper probably go off, and just an absolutely awful game from the Dallas Cowboys. So another awful game. One of the most disappointing games I can remember as a Bills fan. They lose 9-6 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And yeah, the Bills offensive line, question marks coming into this game. I don't care. When you're supposed to be one of the best offenses in the NFL, and all of your offensive skill players are healthy, 6 points against like, losing to Jacksonville is bad enough. You didn't score a touchdown. And again, Twitter, it was the same 5 tweets all day on Twitter. Josh Allen, the Josh Allen Bowl. We get it. We get it. But a terrible game from Buffalo's Josh Allen. No touchdowns, 2 interceptions. The offensive line is a concern of Buffalo. I thought they would address the interior, at least at the trade deadline. You look at it through 9 weeks, only Sam Darnold's been under pressure on more of his dropbacks than Josh Allen. Again, second highest mark in the league, 121 pressure dropbacks. In this game, he was under pressure about 40% of the time. It's a little concerning. And like, yeah, they won against Miami last week, but that was a 3-3 game at halftime. Their offense was not good in that game either until down the stretch. They have no running game. Their offensive line is struggling. And now we get a report that teams are starting to like use that cover 2 shell against Buffalo too, similar to with the Chiefs. And that's why we're seeing, you know, a huge target and catch games from Beasley, although the efficiency wasn't there. 8 for 33 on 11 targets. Like, there's a report again, like, that they're pretty much using him as their running game because Singletary and Moss aren't getting it done. I saw one of the Bills reporters say, like, the Bills average like 0.2 yards before contact per rush in this game. Like, their offensive line isn't creating running lanes. Singletary and Moss are fine, but they're not game changing running backs. We know that. So like, they're pretty much using Cole Beasley in the short passing game as an extension of the running game. And the deep balls haven't been there the last couple weeks. You know, Diggs had 6 for 85 on 8 targets, which is fine, but the upside hasn't been there all year with him, really, you know, compared to last year. I'm not freaking out about the Bills offense, but I'll tell you right now, and this is for fantasy, as a massive Bills fan, if they don't get it figured out against the Jets next week, DEFCON 5, sound the alarms, everything. They need Spencer Brown and John Feliciano back at the offensive line, sure. But it should have mattered against Jack. Like, you just give Jacksonville credit, though. I mean, defense got after Josh Allen all game. They limited the big passing plays. But, I mean, Buffalo, it's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing. And then there was reports from, like, that Shaquille Griffin came out and said the Bills sideline just didn't even, like, look motivated. Like, that's embarrassing. It needs to be fixed. And I haven't had a lot of issues with Sean McDermott in this regime. McDermott's done an incredible job, but like, this is the first time where I'm sitting here thinking, Something needs to happen. Obviously, like, you don't fire anybody, like, but like some in practice, like something needs to change, because it's a couple weeks in a row now where the Bills offense looks flat. Their defense is still, in my opinion, maybe the best in the NFL. They've been the strength of this team, which last year was the opposite. So hopefully Buffalo gets it going. For Jacksonville, I don't really have anything here other than Carlos Hyde handled 95% of the running back touches with James Robinson out. As you'd expect, he did nothing with those touches. You know, 73 scoreless yards on 22 touches. I expect James Robinson to be back next week. He probably had a chance to play in this game. So Hyde will be back to the waiver wire, assuming James Robinson's back. And the passing game in Jacksonville, as you know, granted they did win, their passing game is still absolutely broken. So I don't want anything to do with that, other than maybe, you know, Dan Arnold is a streaming tight end. Did have 7 targets, caught 4 for 60 yards. Oh man, we go from Buffalo and Jacksonville to Houston, Miami. Miami went 17-9. Tua Tagovailoa did not play in this game. Brissett, you know, whatever. Jalen Waddle, another double-digit target game. And as expected, the passing game with Will Fuller and Devontae Parker out, it went through Waddle and Gesicki. They combined for 18 of the 39 targets. Jalen Waddle, I talked about it last week, top 7 in the NFL in first read targets. He's top 7 in the NFL in overall targets. Again, the downfield ability and targets have not been there, but his floor has been massive. He's a must-start every single week going forward. And then Myles Gaskin, I mean, thank goodness he scored a touchdown, because he had 34 yards on 20 carries against the Texans. So if you started them, if you played him in DFS like I did, you got lucky. You definitely got lucky. But at least the playing time is great, right? 54 snaps on 54 of 75 snaps, ran 31 of the 48 routes. So, and had 6 targets. Savon Ahmed and Patrick Laird had 0. So that's great to see. The volume was absolutely in his favor. There are some solid matchups still going forward, and we know Malcolm Brown's on IR. So, I mean, Gaskin's still like a very low-end RB2 or a flex. It's pretty much volume-dependent right now, because he did not look good in this game. I have nothing on Houston. Another 13-target game from Brandon Cooks. He's the only player starting from this team. Just, I don't have anything else. There's nothing else to add. There's nothing. Atlanta 27, Saints 25. This game is pretty fun. Atlanta all of a sudden 4-4 with a nice win here. Matt Ryan 343 yards and 2 touchdowns. Both go to Alameda Zacchaeus. Not adding him. Not interested. Kyle Pitts 3 for 62. Another great game from Cordarrelle Patterson though. Only had 9 carries for 10 yards against the Saints' vaunted run defense, but he makes up for it with 126 yards on 6 catches. Obviously moving him around the formation more. With Calvin Ridley out, so you know, I'm still only starting Pitts and Patterson for this team. They're a pretty concentrated offense clearly right now. Russell Gage should have 8 targets, caught 7 for 64 after last week's goose egg. Maybe in deeper leagues you give him a look. You know, every down player in the slot, you know, you could do worse in the, you know, if you're in a pinch than Russell Gage. The Saints end up going with Trevor Siemian as the starter. He, you know, whatever, 249 and 2 touchdowns. One to Marquez Callaway, one to Kenny Stills. Alvin Kamara, 13 carries, 50 yards and a score, adds 4 receptions. But, I mean, Mark Ingram had 14 touches in this game. And, like, we knew that the Saints didn't want Alvin Kamara to be a 30-touch running back every single game. It wasn't going to work for their offense. They needed a running back with Tony Jones on IR, so they bring in Ingram. And I thought his usage in snaps last week was a lot to do with... You know, first game back with the Saints in New Orleans. But he's clearly like a part of this offense. And last week, Alvin Kamara had a season low in terms of snap share. In this game, he played 52 of the 76 snaps. Ingram played 26 snaps. So, like, Kamara's still getting like 65-ish percent of the snaps. But now we're you know, the last couple weeks it's been more of 2018 Alvin Kamara usage, 2019 Alvin Kamara usage, instead of this year where earlier in this year where it was 25 touches, you know, 25 carries for a lot of these games. So definitely something to keep an eye on. You're not benching Kamara, but, you know, does take away from his upside a little bit if Ingram's getting, you know, 12 to 14 carries each week potentially. And yeah, that's it. We'll see if the Saints have Odell Beckham this time next week. It's very possible. He apparently is linked to the Saints along with the Seahawks. So that'll be something to definitely keep an eye on. The New York Giants beat the Raiders at home 23-16. Evan Engram, back-to-back games with a touchdown. He caught three balls for 38 yards and a score. Kenny Galladay was active in this game, doesn't do much. The passing game really did nothing. Daniel Jones only threw the ball 20 times. They really just ran the ball up the gut with Devontae Booker all game. 21 carries, 99 yards, adds three receptions for 23 yards. He did suffer an injury in this game. I believe he either left late or, you know, the injury was announced after the game. I believe it was a hip injury. But so he did leave in the fourth quarter with the hip. He said he was great after, he said that to the media. He said he's great. But they have a bye next week, and Barkley probably is back. So I wouldn't drop Devontae Booker because he's getting massive work in this role, like 20-plus touches a game, and he's been productive. So I would not just, you know, if Saquon Barkley's back, I would not just put Devontae Booker back on the waiver wire. I think he was somebody that's very valuable. I think he's proven that he's in that. Would he have the upside of Tony Pollard? No, but he's in that Tony Pollard, Alexander Mattison, Sony Michel, you know, backup running back mix. He's in that range. He really is. Really underwhelming game from Kadarius Toney. Why he's targeted one time, I don't know. But very frustrating, obviously. And man, I don't know what to do with the Giants receivers. First game with Galladay back, and they only threw 20 times, so take that for what you will, but definitely frustrating. Darren Waller back for the Raiders after their bye, leads the team with 11 targets, caught 7 for 92. Almost had a touchdown. It was kind of in traffic. He dropped it. You know, relatively tough catch. Kenyon Drake, 6 for 70 in the passing game on 8 targets. And Hunter Renfrow, 7 for 49 and a touchdown on 9 targets. Again, they are going to add DeSean Jackson. He's not going to be a, you know, 5, 6, 7 target per game guy, but he's going to give them, you know, obviously that deep threat role. And Bryan Edwards, a lot of people probably streamed him, played him DFS, and he didn't catch any of his 4 targets. The backfield, Josh Jacobs, also was hurt before the bye. Full in practice, not on the injury report. Did leave this, he leapt off the field at some point, but he did return. Finishes with 13 carries for 76 yards and adds 4 catches for 19 yards. So Jacobs is in that, you know, RB2 range. Not like, I feel like you're not ever like super excited about Josh Jacobs, but you're like, oh, I know he's getting 16, 17 touches and getting all the goal line work, so I'm fine with it. You know? So we'll see what the Raiders offense looks like this time next week with DeSean Jackson in the mix. Moving on to the 4 o'clock games, the Chargers 27, the Eagles 24. And man, like these games just have not been exciting for fantasy, right? I mean, Justin Herbert, probably the best quarterback of the week. Unbelievable performance, 32 of 38, 356 and 2 touchdowns. Also adds a rushing touchdown. I believe he had a perfect passer rating when under pressure in this game. So he's, you know, a very nice bounce back game from him. Austin Eckler didn't find much running room here. 17 carries for 59 yards, adds a couple receptions for 23 yards. One of his worst games of the year, but again, you like the 20 targets, or 20 touches rather. He also left this game, dislocated finger, did return, so good to see, obviously. Back-to-back nice games from Keenan Allen. He has 13 of the 37 targets in this game. Caught 12 of them for 104 yards. And it's not too surprising, given the Eagles are another team that runs a lot of this cover two shell, limits the deep passing plays, and you know they play a lot of zone. And Keenan Allen will eat zone coverage up, and that's what he did in this game. Mike Williams, though, had a 49-yard catch, but other than that, he had 2 catches for 58 yards total, 5 targets. It's been a handful of games in a row, and I kind of attributed it to the games where Mike Williams started to struggle. They coincided with the Chargers offense and Justin Herbert struggling, right? But now, in a game where Herbert lights it up, Mike Williams doesn't do much. And yeah, he's had, I believe Darius Slay was shadowing him in this game, which I expected. And then J.C. Jackson actually didn't shadow him in the New England game, but it's still a tough matchup. So yeah, there have been some tough matchups. I don't think Mike Williams should be viewed as a wide receiver one anymore. I mean, let's look at it. Let's look at the receivers who are definitely taking over Mike Williams the rest of the season. Davante Adams, yes. Tyreek Hill, yes. Cooper Kupp, yes. Trying to look at teams here. So who did I say? So I said Adams, Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs. I would still take over Mike Williams. I would take Keenan Allen over him. So there's that. Hopkins is close. It's just he's not healthy right now, so that makes it tough. I still would take Justin Jefferson. The Dallas receivers are close. Oh, the Tampa Bay, again, that's close, but I think I would take Godwin and Evans, especially if Antonio Brown's still out. Terry McLaurin, I think I would prefer. Man, there's all of a sudden receivers not as loaded as I thought it would be. I mean, Michael Pittman we might need to discuss. You know, like, he's a high-end two, I think. But I don't think he should be viewed as a one anymore. Same with DJ Moore. Now, Mike Williams' situation is a lot better than DJ Moore's, but DJ Moore at least gets more consistent targets. I still think you can buy low on Mike Williams, though. But, I wouldn't view him as like a rock solid top seven or eight receiver anymore, but he's still definitely somebody you can buy low. The Eagles continue to really, really establish the run. And Miles Sanders is probably sitting there like, where the hell has this been? Back-to-back games, they go really run heavy. You know, Boston Scott led the way last week. This week, it's Jordan Howard. 17 carries for 71 yards and a score. Boston Scott had 10 carries for 40 yards. And Kenneth Gainwell has 2 carries, but he gets a short yardage touchdown. Howard ran, like, it was a good matchup, obviously, and they knew it, and they just, you know, they ran the ball against a bad run defense for the majority of this game. And then Jordan Howard, I mean, NBC Sports' Ruben Frank said that the Eagles have to make Jordan Howard a permanent part of the offense even after Miles Sanders gets back. I don't know about that, but he's clearly somebody that's probably not going to be on the practice squad once Sanders comes back, given how he's played, and given the fact that the Eagles clearly are trying to run the football again. Jalen Hurts, another underwhelming fantasy game, but he did score in this game, 162 yards. I actually thought he played well in this game. Like, the box score doesn't show it, but he missed a couple throws, but the touchdown pass to Devonta Smith was nice. Kept his team alive in a couple really impressive third down runs. Added 62 rushing yards. I thought he played well in this game. The defense was what let the Eagles down in this one. Couldn't get off the field in a couple drives. Couple penalties that definitely hurt the Eagles, who clearly, like, Jalen Hurts definitely played well enough for the Eagles to win this football game. Devontae Smith finally bounces back here. 5 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown on 6 targets. I had no interest in Devontae Smith, even after the Chargers, you know, secondary was kind of banged up. Noah Asante, like, their top couple corners were out. Asante Samuel Jr. was out. So that definitely helped. But, I mean, clearly we know where the passes are going when the Eagles throw. I mean, 16 targets in this game. 12 of them went to Dallas Goedert and Devontae Smith, so you're not starting anybody else in this passing game. I still have Smith as like a wide receiver 3, kind of in that Cortland Sutton range, but a nice impressive game from him nonetheless. Eagles have Denver next week, so Jordan Howard going to be on the waiver wire. Somebody should probably add. It looks like the 1A at least for the Eagles, but with Nick Sirianni in the Eagles backfield, you never, ever really know. Chiefs 13, Green Bay 7, and I'll tell you what, if Aaron Rodgers was playing this game, the Chiefs lose by 30. Maybe not 30, but they lose this game easily. Again, like, back-to-back wins for the Chiefs. And you watch them and you're like, this is not a good football team. Patrick Mahomes, 20 of 37 for 166 yards, 1 touchdown. He didn't turn the ball over. Actually, the Chiefs as a whole did not turn the ball over, so let's clap it up for the Chiefs. Turns out Derek Gore is not a thing. Daryl Williams, 19 carries to Gore's 3. Williams had 3 catches. So 22 touches for Daryl Williams, just starting him every week until Clyde's back, which could be a couple weeks away still. Travis Kelce bounces back. He gets his first end zone target of the year, converts it into a touchdown, 5 for 68. Tyreek Hill continues to get a ton of targets. I mean, he had 11 more in this game, only caught 4 of them for 37 yards. As Mahomes keeps trying to throw him, you know, deep down the field. He overthrew him a couple times, a couple were in double coverage, like, Mahomes just doesn't look right. Like, he's forcing stuff, and then he's, like, just trying to do too much sometimes. Like, it's very concerning. Like, you're not benching Tyreek Hill or Kelce, but, like, Mahomes, like, when do we start talking about Mahomes in terms of where he ranks in fantasy? Because it's you know, again, Josh Allen struggled today. Dak Prescott struggled today. But right now, I'm like, and Kyler didn't play today. Right now, I'm taking Josh Allen, Lamar, Tom Brady, probably Dak, and probably Kyler, if healthy, over Patrick Mahomes right now. Like, I don't, like, I'm not saying he's not a top 10, like, that's absurd, but, like, he's been bad. He's not scoring fantasy points. And we're starting to see the last couple weeks now, the Chiefs are trying to run the football because teams are playing that cover two shell, which is, like, the theme of the NFL season right now. So, yeah, like, I don't think it's reactionary. Reactionary is 2 weeks in a season. We're 9 weeks in, guys. We're 9 weeks in. So I don't think it's crazy to say Mahomes is not a top five quarterback. Oh, Herbert, too. Probably put Herbert over Mahomes at this point. So, yeah, it's bad. And I still think there's plenty of untapped potential there with this offense, but there's nothing down the field. It's not bad for Tyreek Hill for fantasy because he's getting so many targets, but the I don't know how many times we're going to see the rest of the season that 10-catch, 182-touchdown game from Tyreek Hill. It's very bad right now. Again, like if Aaron Rodgers is playing this game, the Packers roll. They absolutely roll. They only lose by six. Jordan Love just, you know, he didn't play well. But his first career start, the Chiefs blitzed him all game long. And, like, he had one-on-ones with the best receiver in the league, and he just didn't even give Davante Adams a shot in a lot of these games. Davante Adams had 14 targets. He only caught six of them. When the hell do you see that from Davante Adams? I mean, just bad game. A.J. Dillon continues to cut into Aaron Jones' workload and continues to look better. He had 8 carries for 46 yards, added 44 receiving yards on 4 receptions. He's in that flex range. Aaron Jones is still like a, you know, lower-end RB1, mid-range RB1. There's still a chance Aaron Rodgers doesn't play this week. I think the earliest he can return is Saturday. So don't automatically say, okay, whatever, Rodgers will be back next week. Again, I'm not benching Davante Adams or Aaron Jones, but you definitely temper expectations because Jordan Love just, you know, he didn't look good. You know, forced a lot of throws. They were just kind of like lollipops up for grabs. Didn't give his receivers chances to make plays. The touchdown pass he threw to Alan Lazard was solid. He stood, in, you know, pressure right in his face, stood in the pocket, made a nice throw, and Lazard made a move after the catch. So that was impressive, but obviously this offense is, you know, without Aaron Rodgers, they're going to be nowhere near as good. But again, they win this game easily if Aaron Rodgers is under center. I think you come away from this game pretty encouraged as a Packers fan because the defense played really well despite missing players, and you're going to get Rodgers back. So, and that's another quarterback you could make the argument is better than Mahomes. So, like, you could make the argument Mahomes is like the QB7 in fantasy rest of the season, which is just, it's mind-blowing, but it's there. I mean, it's absolutely there. All right, two games left. Arizona 31, San Francisco 17. No Kyler Murray, no DeAndre Hopkins, and no problem for the Arizona Cardinals who roll here in Santa Clara. Colt McCoy, really serviceable game here. 22 of 26, 249 yards and a score. But the story here is James Conner. I mean, 21 carries for 96 yards and a pair of scores. Also adds a receiving touchdown that went for 45 yards. And now we get word that Chase Edmonds suffered a high ankle sprain, probably going to be put on short-term IR. So James Conner, already been fantastic this year for fantasy, albeit on the back of some touchdowns, but now he's going to get the volume without a question. Eno Benjamin, probably somebody to look at off waivers. He ran hard in this game, 9 carries for 39 yards and a touchdown where he ran over a San Francisco defender. So I think Kyler's back next week. And, I mean, they scored 31 points without him, so it's kind of crazy. But, yeah, James Conner, if Edmonds is out, top 12 running back. I mean, he's got to be. He absolutely has to be. For the passing game, Christian Kirk, 6 for 91. Also added a pass in this game, too. 33-yard completion. Rondale Moore, 5 for 25 on 5 targets. Ertz, 3 for 27 on 5 targets. Again, they were without Hopkins and AJ Green for this game. Kirk's been, you know, in that flex wide receiver 3. He's shown plenty of upside. Again, he's the deep target in this passing game. Had a really nice 50-yard catch on a pass from Colt McCoy. So we'll see what happens with the Cardinals offense next week if they get Hopkins and Murray back. I expect they get Murray back. We'll see on Hopkins. But, I mean, now it's like you're 8-1. If they're not 100% coming off and the Rams lost, like, maybe you let Kyler get 100%. So we'll see. For San Francisco, Jimmy Garoppolo, 326 and two scores, one interception. Elijah Mitchell only had eight carries in this game because the 49ers fell behind early. But, you know, career high in receptions, pass routes, that was encouraging. I thought Jamichael Hasty left this game for a little bit. That might have had more to do with it. But, like, Trey Sermon, inactive again. Jeff Wilson didn't play a snap. And I think Jeff Wilson gets on the field, you know, when he gets healthier and more practice time. But Elijah Mitchell, if he gets some receiving game work, again, five catches for 43 yards, he could be a low-end RB1. Because in game scripts where it allows him to, we know Elijah Mitchell's going to get 17 carries a game. And he's looked good for the fourth straight week. So overall, you know, the game script was bad, but encouraging signs from Elijah Mitchell. And then George Kittle's back, 6 for 101 and a touchdown and eight targets. He wasn't even a full-time player in this game and still went off. So that's great to see from Kittle. Brandon Ayuk, though, talked about him in last week's waiver episode, said he should have been added and stashed as like an elite high upside bench player. And look at it. I mean, last week, Brandon Ayuk led the team in snaps and routes among wide receivers. And on Sunday, nothing changed. He led the way with a 93.2% snap share. His 43 routes also led the team. Over the last 2 weeks, he's run a route on 94% of Jimmy Garoppolo's dropbacks. And during that same span, 10 of 15 targets, 134 yards, one touchdown, and a two-point conversion. He's looked better. He's making catches in traffic. He's doing everything, too. He's getting down the field to block. His routes look better. Like, he looks like a completely different player than in the first couple weeks of the season. And now he's an every down player. So, and it's even more encouraging his game he had today because George Kittle was active and had eight targets and Deebo Samuel still had eight or nine targets. So Ayuk went from a fourth round draft pick that was a bust to somebody that needs to be dropped. And now I think he needs to be rostered in 80 to 100% of leagues. So if he's still out there, go get Brandon Ayuk. He looks a lot better. Yeah, and Deebo, 5 for 63, 9 targets. Maybe he's not that wide receiver one with Kittle back and Ayuk coming along. Maybe it's an opportunity to trade him before your league's trade deadline. Here's a question. Would you rather have Deebo Samuel or Mike Williams the rest of the season? You can't answer me right now, but tweet me or something. Tweet me at A5for24. I'm interested to hear what... Because I think that's an interesting call. Rest of the season, Deebo Samuel. We will close it out with the Sunday night game. Tennessee 28, the Rams 16. Worst offensive game of the year for the Rams. They didn't score till the last second. A touchdown, at least, till the last second. Garbage time score to Sony Michel. Good game still from Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. Woods 7 for 98 on 10 looks. Kupp 11 for 95 on 13 looks. Higbee had 10 targets, too, and had a touchdown called back. I probably thought it was a touchdown, but it was very close. Stafford looked really bad in this game, though. Bad interception to Kevin Byard that went back for a touchdown. Then he tried to avoid a safety and threw right in the arms of a linebacker that set up a Titans touchdown. Better days are ahead, obviously. Darrell Henderson, down game, only had 11 carries for 55 yards. But there were a couple possessions where it was like the two-minute drill at the end of the first half where he was not in the field. Then they didn't even go to Henderson when the game was out of reach for the last like 3 minutes. So the snaps look a lot closer than you would have liked. Between Michelle and Henderson, right? It was, I believe it was 40 snaps for Henderson. Let me find out the exact number. 47 for Henderson, 31 for Michelle. But again, a lot of that was Michelle and garbage time and stuff like that. And Michelle looked fine. He looked good in this game. He left with an ankle injury, which frightened everybody, but it came back in the game relatively quickly. So nothing to be alarmed about there. And the schedule is still really good for the Rams. So yeah, do not worry about Darrell Henderson. But yeah, just a bad game for the Rams. The Titans passing game didn't do much in this game, but I mean, AJ Brown, Julio Jones, whatever. Brown had 11 of the 26 targets, so you like to see that. But the backfield, Adrian Peterson got the start, handled 10 carries for 21 yards, so we didn't do anything until a late touchdown from a yard or two out. Donta Foreman clearly looked like the best running back here, 5 for 29. I don't really want to start, especially next week against the Saints. I don't really want to start any of these running backs, but like keep an eye on Donta Foreman. Like it's pretty encouraging though that Peterson, really no practice all week, gets the start and leads the team in carries. But he's gonna be a touchdown dependent flex each week, unless they're in a game where Tennessee is gonna, dominate, which they didn't really dominate in this game, but they were ahead and Peterson still only had 10 carries, so maybe he gets closer to 15 per game. But he didn't really do anything to where you say, okay, he should get 15 carries a game going forward. But that'll do it for the week. I guess not the week, right? We got one more game Monday night between the Bears and the Steelers. I need Allen Robinson and the Bears defense to score less than 22 fantasy points tonight, which you think would be safe, but knowing my luck, Allen Robinson, the first week I play against him, we'll finally have his huge game. So we'll see. Hopefully everybody's week 9 ends the right way for them on Monday night. Again, check out the podcast. Give us a rating and review on iTunes. It really helps us out. Subscribe, all that great stuff, so you do not miss a single episode, including Tuesday's episode with myself and D-Bro going through waivers for week number 10. Already in week number 10. Really crazy how quickly the season goes by. And of course, Wednesday, the trade episode, and Thursday, DFS game-by-game breakdown with myself and a special guest from across the industry. Always looking forward to that. Thanks for listening, as always. Hopefully Monday goes well for you. Again, check out FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, and FTNBets.com. Adam Pfeiffer, hopefully everybody had a great weekend. We'll see you guys on Tuesday. Talk to you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.